You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Welcome to episode 58 of Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. Today we'll be covering questions 283 through 289 into Be a Christian and Anglican Catechism, the official catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I'm Father Kurt Hein, Rector of Light of Christ Anglican Church in Georgetown, Texas, joined today by my co-catechist, Father Isaac Rayburg, Rector of All Saints Anglican Church in San Antonio, Texas. But before we begin, let's start with a prayer.
This is the collect for the Feast of the Holy Name. Almighty God, your blessed Son fulfilled the covenant of circumcision for our sake and was given the name that is above every name. Give us grace faithfully to bear his name and to worship him with pure hearts according to the new covenant, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. All right, Isaac, what is the third commandment?
The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Okay.
So 284, why is God's name sacred?
God's name reveals who he is, his nature, his character, his power, and his purposes. All forms of God's name are holy.
And so this is a bit richer of a concept of name than we typically have in our American culture. But really, yeah, his name reveals who he is. And we see this in some really cool places in the Old Testament where something significant happens and we see kind of a new name of God in that place, such as when Isaac is, God prevents Abraham from sacrificing Isaac and provides the ram. He is now the Lord who provides, Yahweh who provides.
Yahweh Yireh, I believe.
Yeah.
And then also there's a renaming of people along that. I mean, it speaks to the cultural significance there of names.
Yeah.
Jacob, absolutely. Which is supplanter, or the one that trips someone from behind, which he lives up to quite a lot in his life, is renamed Israel, right?
The one after who strives with God. Yeah.
Yeah. The one who strives with God after he wrestles with the angel.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
We yeah. See so that the quite name. A bit. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. Go. You go for it.
Yeah. God's name is revealing something about who he is to us. And so there are many names that God has that reveals his nature.
Well, then 285, what does it mean to take God's name in vain?
Vain means empty, meaningless, or of no account. To take God's name in vain is to treat it as such.
Yeah, and so if all forms of his name are holy because they reveal who he is, then to treat it as empty, meaningless, or of no account is a really big problem. Mm. That is a big, big sin right there.
I think for Christians, one of the most offensive things to us should be the use of Jesus' name in this way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very bad thing.
It's kind of like, I mean, even let's use a similar situation, or by analogy anyway, that, you know, I love my wife, and if someone was dragging her name through the mud, I would not like that, right?
Yes.
Similarly, you know, Jesus has a very special place in our life as God become flesh, right? He's as our Savior, and so the way we use his name should be full of respect and love because of who he is and what that name reveals about God. Jesus is, right? Yahweh saves, God saves. So
that's
the
right.
Lord saves. So 286, how can you avoid taking God's name in vain?
Because I love him, I should use God's name with reverence, not carelessly or profanely. And I think that careless thing is probably where what happens for most of the time, you know, when we are falling afoul of this commandment, is we're just not thinking about it. We're doing it carelessly.
Yeah.
287, how might you use God's name profanely?
By the unholy use of God's holy name, especially through perjury, blasphemy, and attributing to God any falsehood, heresy, or evil deed, as if he had authorized or approved them. So this is expanding. It's more than just replacing a curse word with God's name, but there are other ways that we can profanely use God's name. Perjury.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lying in God's name. I mean, that's a big problem. Attributing to God something that is not true of God. That's huge.
Oh, God told me that you're going to be my next girlfriend, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, the God told me is really does flirt with this. Be very wary of that. And this is not to be a cessationist when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, but don't just because you feel like it doesn't mean that it actually is true prophecy.
Mm. Or we take God's name or Jesus and we just use his name to rubber stamp whatever sinful behavior we have.
Yeah.
Somehow we're just attaching Jesus to whatever political thing that is actually leading us. We put Jesus as the caboose. I mean, that's a way of taking God's name in vain. I think of the whole LGBTQ attempting to stamp that with God's name. But there's many ways that we do this, or particular wars, or particular just whatever our hobby horse is, right? Just saying, hey, this is what God wants, when it's not what God wants.
Be very clear that God is saying something if you're going to be attributing God to saying that. And the good news is we know where God has spoken. It's in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like we have to wonder about this. We know for sure where he's spoken and what he has to say about something because he's revealed it to us in his holy word. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so anytime you're saying that God is saying something that's a counter to his word, you know, it's not true.
288, how might you use God's name carelessly?
Cursing, magic, broken vows, false piety, manipulation of others, and hypocrisy all cheapen God's name. These treat God's name as an empty of the reality for which it stands. Yeah, I'm going to jump on one of the later ones first. You know, hypocrisy, this is especially an issue for us as priests. You know, we as clergy are always bearing God's name. People see us as representing him. And the same is true for all Christians, right? All Christians in some way are always representing him. So represent him well, right? Yeah. So when we are being hypocritical in his name, we are cheapening his name. We're making him look bad.
And we're called Christians, right?
Yeah, right.
So we've taken on the name of Christ. We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so our life should be stamped with that in our actions, like they should be according to Christ. And so when we fail to do that, when we live as hypocrites, we need to repent from that.
Right.
We need to turn from that hypocrisy, because that's a way of taking God's name in vain.
Yeah, this is why in the Gospels, Jesus calls the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and things like that, because they are, they're doing this very thing. That's why in the Old Testament, there's so many words against the false prophets. You know, you're speaking my name, but I didn't tell you to say that.
Oh,
all of these things are elements of where misrepresenting God through hypocrisy, manipulation, false piety, all of that is absolutely wicked.
Religion is a proven way of manipulating people.
Yeah, yeah.
A proven and effective way, right? Yeah. And we need to own that and to be aware of that. That's a way of taking God's name in vain. To take the language of scripture and to use it for sin, really, right? For selfishness. It happens all the time. So we do have to be really careful that just because someone is using the language of scripture, and this happens in all kinds of different churches from super conservative to super progressive, mm-hmm. people will just inhabit whatever language is being used there and about God, and they will twist that language to get what they want. So we can all do this to different extents. So we need to be aware of this in others, aware of this in ourselves, and to be actively repenting of it.
Yeah, in one way, especially for those who are rectors, preachers, clergy, those who do have those leadership roles that can lead to manipulation, do not bind the conscience where the scripture is not bounded. Hmm. You know, don't make something into a command from God that is not a command in scripture.
And that is really, well, it's part of our ordination vows, right? That we vow that we won't do that.
Right.
And it's very important. The other way, I mean, the only way to not be a hypocrite is to confess your sin.
That's true too. Yeah. Don't pretend to have it all together when you don't.
We're not saying as a priest, you confess your sin in front of your congregation. That's completely and wholly inappropriate. But you need to have that confessor. You need to have that other priest that you're going to regularly on the reg, to really confess the times that you mess up. You know, the only way as a sinful, redeemed child of God to not be a hypocrite is to confess your sins and to confess your Savior. That's the only way.
That's right.
I've talked about that with the congregation. You know, yeah, the church is full of hypocrites. Give us that. All right. That's true.
Yeah.
But what other group of people do you know of that gets together and one of the first things they do is confess how bad they are and how they are the problem in the world?
Yeah. And that is what makes the difference between true hypocrisy and what we're often accused of, falsely accused of by the world, is that, you know, if we, when we're coming together, we are readily admitting, you know, how we are sinful, how we do need God's forgiveness, how we do need amendment of life, how we're not living up to what it means to follow Christ. And we do this every time we gather publicly. Yeah. And if we actually mean that, we realize that is a truth, not just something we say liturgically. Then that charge of hypocrisy is a lot harder to stick, because where we actually are what we say we are, which is redeemed sinners who God is still working on. Amen.
Thank God he is still working on us.
Yeah, amen. Indeed.
So 289, how can you honor and love God's name?
I honor and love God's name in which I was baptized by keeping my vows and promises, by worshiping him in truth and holiness, and by invoking his name reverently and responsibly. So yeah, be intentional about your use of God's name. Be intentional with your word and your promises. Don't do these things carelessly.
Yes.
Be intentional with your worship. Don't do this carelessly either.
Yep. And yeah, keep your word. Let your worship reflect holiness in God's name. The sacredness of God's name, rather. I think that's something to think about too. And something that people really hunger for is a sense of reverence.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to Light of Christ, that's one of the things that they say. They said that they're seeking a worship of God that's full of reverence. Yeah. Consumer-driven Christianity that was real popular a generation ago to now has really stripped a lot of that reverence away from the Sunday worship in many congregations. And I think that is a way also of taking God's name in vain, when our worship is more about entertainment than it is about recognizing and responding to the holiness of God and what he's done for us.
Yeah, and that movement was often reacting against a previous problem, you know, which would have been a tendency to have a very inauthentic and insincere worship, right? It's, you know, you're it's hypocritical. You're putting on a really good show, but it's not reflecting the reality. It's not really sincere. You're going through the motions. Mm-hmm. But and so there's this search for authenticity, you know, worshiping in spirit, but the tendency is to swing the pendulum the other way, and now you've thrown out the reverence. Okay, so we're going to get back the reverence, but let's make sure when we get back the reverence that it's true reverence for God and not just fussiness and keeping our eyes on ourselves and, you know, putting on a show for the congregation.
Right.
You know, and it's so easy to swing to either of those extremes,
yeah.
which is why I do believe Jesus said, okay, we worship in spirit and in truth, spirit yes. and in truth. And that's not some messy medium. It's just that recognizing that it's easy to think you're worshiping in truth and throwing out the spirit, and think you're worshiping in spirit but throwing out the truth. And the truth is, if you don't have both, you don't have either.
That's right. Yeah, without the truth, without the spirit, what are we, right? Those are essential to our worship and to honoring the Lord's name. Thank you for joining us for Anglican Catechesis, where we're learning to follow Jesus on the Anglican way. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a comment below. You can also take Anglican Catechesis with you on the go by subscribing to the podcast. You can find the link in the YouTube description. Lord willing, we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.